I want to take a break from the podcast right now, and I want to give you a gift. And I want to do that to thank you for being a listener. I put my heart and soul into this podcast. I love interviewing today's experts, researchers, MDs, psychologists, sleep trainers, you name it. I hope you feel inspired to take care of yourselves and your families. And I just want to thank you for being a listener and hanging out with me. So the code PODCAST10 is going to give you a one-time $10 off code at kellylevesque.com, your next order of protein powder. You can either use that on my grass-fed beef isolate protein or on my new vegan chocho bean protein. Now, here's what I love about my protein powders. It's 3 ingredients or less. So we don't use fillers, emulsifiers, no fortified vitamins or minerals. It's easy to digest and naturally made without any enzymes or chemicals like hexane. So it's 3 ingredients. With my grass-fed beef isolate, that's 100% grass-fed beef, and it's made in the way that you would make bone broth. So just heat and water. And we dehydrate that end product to get that collagen-rich protein powder that your whole family can drink. It can be added to coffees, to smoothies, and you can get it in vanilla, chocolate, and unflavored. I want to point out that my vanilla and chocolate is made with organic vanilla bean, organic cacao, and the only sweetener used is organic monk fruit. We don't use any maltodextrin. Our monk fruit is 100% ground monk fruit, and it's organic. And with my vegan line, I'm so excited to have launched this and to have it out into the world. It's a regenerative bean from South America called the chocho bean. And the chocho bean is the most superior plant-based protein powder you can get your hands on, because not only is it a complete protein, but the process is made with heat and water only. They're crushed and soaked, and what that end product results in is an anti-nutrient-free protein powder. So you're not gonna have any lectins, phytates, or oxalates in your protein powder. Makes it super easy to digest, and it's really, really delicious and robust in cooking as well. So I love it if I want a thicker smoothie or a smoothie bowl. And I also love it in my baked goods, from my cookies to my muffins, pancakes, and breads. It's the perfect protein addition. So if you want to give either of these proteins a try, or you've already been purchasing these proteins and want to take advantage of this special deal, the code PODCAST10 is going to get you $10 off for being a listener here at the Be Well by Kelly podcast. So head to kellylevesque.com or bewellbykelly.com. Put the protein you'd like to purchase in your cart and use the code PODCAST10 for $10 off. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in.
Looking at it now, I see all the things that we've done, and it's really exciting, but it started with one thing. And so I think that's a really important piece for people to know, is that to make big changes, it doesn't start with big changes. It really starts with small, manageable, easy steps to eventually make really large leaps and bounds.
On today's podcast, I'm going to introduce you to 2 amazing women and one of the nonprofits that has become quickly near and dear to my heart, and that's Eat Real. Eat Real has a goal to shift $1 billion of school food purchasing power by 2025 to greener, more sustainable, healthier meals so every child can flourish. They hold standards for school districts like lowering sugar, removing harmful ingredients, and changing vendors from large distributors to local sustainable options. On this podcast, you're going to meet Nora LaTorre, who is the CEO of Eat Real. Nora is currently working with over 500 schools to solve the root cause of health crisis facing our children, and has a rapidly scaling climate change solution. Nora is a One Green Thing board member, a Tufts Nutrition Security Council member, and the California Department of Food and Agriculture advisor on health, data, and systems. She has been featured as a TED Talk speaker and highlighted by CBS, Fast Company, CNN, and beyond. Joining her today is Erin Primer, the Director of Food and Nutrition Services at St. Louis Coastal Unified School District, located in Central California. She brings over 15 years of experience in the food industry, ranging from high-quality catering to hospitals and universities. With 2 young children of her own, she is so passionate about changing the food that is served in her cafeteria. Together, they have lowered 15 pounds of sugar per kid in Erin's school district, and they have reallocated funds to local vendors, like 100% grass-fed beef burgers that are served up every week, to local olive oil and local kiwis. There's a lot of change happening in the school district of San Luis Coastal Unified School District because of Erin's passion and because of Nora and Eat Real's plan for her. If you're interested in making change on a school district level or supporting policy change here in California or throughout the United States, head to eatreal.org and see how you can get involved at a local, state, or national level. There's so much change to be made and it's urgent. 1 in 5 kids is now being diagnosed with prediabetes, a preventable processed food diagnosis. We can change that. There are 90,000 schools, 7 billion meals, and over $15 billion of spending happening every single year. Where we can make the biggest impact, our school systems and our school lunch programs. We can also really help ensure nutrition starts there because most kids are eating most of their meals at school. All right, you guys, today's guests are Nora LaTorre, the CEO of the award-winning nonprofit Eat Real. I'm so excited to introduce you guys to Eat Real. And then we also have Aaron Primer, who is the Director of Food Nutrition at the San Luis Coastal Unified School District, located in Central Coast of California. They've worked together to totally transform her school district's food. There's been so many policy changes, state and nationwide, because of Eat Real, this amazing nonprofit. And for me, when it comes to building my brand, Be Well by Kelly, my courses, you know, Fab Four Pregnancy, Fab Four Under Four, we donate 10% of those profits to nonprofits. And the hardest part for me is finding the nonprofits that are making real food changes for our children. I'm really passionate about that in this stage of my life with toddlers, being pregnant with my third. So I'm so excited to introduce you to both of them and this amazing nonprofit in the hopes that you get the chance to reach out and make some real change in your school districts as well. So Nora and Aaron, thank you for being here. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show.
So good to be here. Thank you so much for having us and highlighting the incredible change that's underway in Aaron's district and San Luis Coastal and across the state of California and across the nation. So thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So Nora, let's start with you. What is Eat Real? How did you get started with them? And like high level, what are you guys trying to do?
Yeah, so Eat Real is a children's health meets climate change nonprofit that really believes that change starts in the cafeteria, in the lunchroom, and it starts with our kids. And so we increase access to real food for children in schools, and we raise awareness about the power of real food to help kids unlock their full potential and live long, happy, and healthy lives. And we work to help school leaders like Aaron transform their food programs and to engage their students and their communities. We also raise general awareness and we do policy and advocacy, but really our core focus is transforming our food system with school leaders for the health of children.
I love it. So Aaron, can you talk about what the San Luis Coastal Unified School District's food looked like prior to working with Eat Real? And what were some of the actual changes that were happening at a cafeteria level? And if you can, talk a little bit about the size of your district, the scale of these changes, and what it looks like for you on a day-to-day.
Definitely. School food is super fun. And I'm here to tell you just how amazing it can truly be. And it takes people. It takes the right people in these positions. It takes moms going, hey, this matters and this is important. And how can we really be agents of change in the work that we do? I started at San Luis Coastal almost 7 years ago. I have a 6 and a 4-year-old. So school food is very real to me. I started when I was pregnant with my first and it mattered to me then. But now my daughter is in our school district and it matters even more. I used to think that all these kids were mine and I was feeding all these children. And it's so true. But because it's my child now, it means that much more to me. And it really centers me on why this work is so important. And I get to see it every night with my little foodie critic about our school lunch menu and what she'd like to see. And it's really fun and engaging. So our district is about 7,600 students across San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, and Los Osos. So we have a little bit of the coast as well as San Luis City. We're in the Central Coast of California. We're pretty spread out. We've got 15 school sites. And when I started about 7 years ago, we were doing some cool things. We just weren't really talking about it. So a lot of this work is sharing the story. It's sharing the message and ensuring that people know what's important to us for our food values. And if procurement is important and local food is important, telling that story, spotlighting those farmers. These are our local celebrities. So making sure that that message is getting out to students and to parents. We were buying kiwi from Napomo for many years and just not really telling that story. So wanting to really start with who are we? What are we about? what's important to us from a food value standpoint was really how we started this work. And we weren't 100% scratch. We weren't doing a lot of the things that we're doing today. And so it's really important to know that this really starts with baby steps. It starts with one thing. It starts with one farmer or one item. And I think that's what makes this really approachable and digestible work. Looking at it now, I see all the things that we've done and it's really exciting, but it started with one thing. And so I think that's a really important piece for people to know is that to make big changes, it doesn't start with big changes. It really starts with small, manageable, easy steps to eventually make really large leaps and bounds. So some of the changes that we've made really center around food. What are we serving? Where is that coming from? Is it packaged? Is it not packaged in districts of all different sizes? Packaged food is a big thing. It's a big thing from a clean ingredient standpoint. It's a big thing from a convenience standpoint. Many districts haven't been staffed with enough labor and skilled labor to move forward in these directions. So it can be a little daunting to make big changes in school food, but centering back on those values and why we're doing it, I think is really helpful in how we started to make this change and really how we got connected with Eat Real was centered around these food values and seeing that this organization supports real food, real progress, and real change. What I loved so much about Eat Real and Nora's approach is that this was really centered around real. It was centered around really doing the work, real whole foods, and really wanting to see school districts succeed in what they were doing. So our partnership and connection really was centered around having shared food values in our system.
It's wonderful to hear that you're making like local farmers celebrities in your school and that your parents and students know where their food is coming from. It seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that in large school districts, they're using distributors and there's no connection to the farm at all. Food's coming in packaged. It's being prepared very quickly, very little of it. You know, it's high in sugar, high in processed flours, high in inflammatory oils, industrially raised proteins. So I can't even imagine when you got into that role 7 years ago, knowing even that San Luis was on the cutting edge of bringing some, I mean, you're in the food mecca, you're by all the farms. So bringing in that farm fresh food seems like a natural thing to do, but it does still seem really daunting to make what we call real change, you know, and it, Nora and I have talked about this offline, you know, just about Eat Real. I really want to know because you want to donate to charities or like support nonprofits that are putting produce on the plate, that are sourcing from better farms, you know, their protein if possible, but it's really hard to understand if that work is really being done. So for you, Erin, when you got into the position, how did you start? Like, I know it was like small steps, but can you give some examples? So if people listening want to make change in their school district, how you start doing that? How do you leave? I mean, I would assume that you're buying stuff from Sysco. How do you leave a big like third party distributor type of a thing and start allocating funds to other people? And are you even allowed to do that?
You have so many great questions, Kelly. I can't even wait to answer this. This is amazing because having this level of detail conversation about our food system simply doesn't really exist. So this thrills me to no end because like the work that Nora does with Eat Real and my interest in working with them, I too am an operator who wants to do real work. You can often find me doing things like cutting fruit for the bar or driving a truck. You know, these are not things you do what you need to do to get the work done, right? And that often means it's very messy and it's very hard. So I do want to disclaimer this conversation with, I am not here to tell you that this work is easy. If it was easy, we'd all be doing it. It's hard. It is very hard. You have to be very committed. You have to really center around those values, around your food system and what matters so that you can go back to centering on that when things get really mucky and difficult, which does often happen in exactly how you've described it. Zooming out just a little bit. So my background, I went to school down in Southern California. I majored in communication studies. I double minored in organizational leadership and psychology. So that should give you a pretty good understanding that I'm into really hard things and things I like. I'm going to go after things I really like. I worked for a big food service provider when I was in school. And so I really learned the ins and outs of how you can operate successfully any kind of business entity or organization around food. I worked for that organization for a good 10, 12 years. It was great for many reasons. I learned a lot of systems and how-tos, but it was very connected to big business and profits. And so I've always been very focused on following the money to really understand what the levers are for whatever question you're trying to solve or whatever levers you're trying to pull. You follow that money and you can usually end up with a pretty good sense of whose interest is behind that. So working for a large contract management company was very difficult for me in terms of procurement and exactly what you've just described. So when you have large contracts with big manufacturers, there's expectation for continuing to menu those items on a menu. A lot of times that's packaged and processed foods. As somebody with food values and backgrounds in our system in marketing, catering, I was a catering director for many years. I worked at the San Francisco Zoo for a minute. And so I really understand this high-end food. I understand marketing of food. And when I got into schools, I had never worked in schools. I worked in hospitals and universities and just very different. We had much larger budgets than in school food. And I got into school food wondering, why are we not bringing a level of care, of concern, of understanding to our kids, to the people who deserve it most, to the people who have oftentimes either the least access or the least control of their access? There is often limited voice for children in what they choose to eat, and that causes a lot of rifts in our food system. So to be able to look at school food in ways that are much deeper and more meaningful really centers me on this work and brings me back to, why is this important? Why is it worth it to do such hard things? And I look at that little six-year-old I come home to who has her face covered in chocolate hummus when that's on the menu. And I really know that what we're doing is the right thing. I know that when my daughter talks to me about foods that are healthy or choices that she's curious about making, she's learning a lot of that at school. She's learning a lot of that in her lunchroom. My child would not eat kiwi at home, but you know where she tried it? At school, where she now loves it. And so it's like even my own kid is finding things that she wouldn't otherwise maybe choose at home, but she's doing it in environments where her friends are trying things. She's learning about it. She's seeing exposure to a particular item. It's fun. And that's what food is really about. So my background in catering and marketing, having these, you know, exceptional food experiences for people, mostly for adults, really has transpired me into schools of saying, kids deserve this. Kids deserve real food. Kids deserve food that is minimally processed, that is clean, that we know where it comes from. And so how do we do that, right? What are those steps on how we get there? That's that meta level, but how does that actually happen? So I want to say that, you know, it's really about asking these questions and breaking down the pieces to our system. So you've mentioned distribution. Many operators, small, medium, large, all are using centralized distribution, mostly for grocery items, often for produce, sometimes for other types of goods like paper. And the reason why we do this is really because it's easy, right? It's easy to go to one grocery store to buy all your groceries for the week. Shoot, it's easier to go to Costco and stock up and get groceries for longer, right? But how many of us are really going to multiple stores for our weekly shopping or our monthly shopping? How many stores are we going to? Are we going to the farmer's market and then supplementing at a local mom and pop grocery store or a big box grocery store? And thinking about procurement in those terms really helps understand why school districts would make certain decisions about how they procure different goods. And it oftentimes lands on the same reason about fast food is it's easy, right? Mm-hmm. It's cheap. It's easy. I click one button. I order all my things. It's easy. But I told you I wasn't here for easy. I was here for hard and worth it. And so one of the things that I do as an operator is I maintain a portfolio of vendors so that I can break apart the big spend with my large distributors. Now, that does not mean that I am distributor free. Maybe one day I'll get there. Not there today. But I've taken large amounts, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I've broken those funds apart so that I can spend it on local food, small businesses. You know, when we talk about local food, I think a lot of times people think produce, right? Mm-hmm. You go to the farmer's market, you see produce. Local food means produce. I am here to tell you that local food means way more than just produce. It means beef, it means chicken, it means pork, it means different kinds of meats, it means grains. We have a local bakery that we're able to contract with to provide whole grain baked goods for our students. We've worked with Eat Real to come up with an Eat Real compliant or an Eat Real certified type muffin that is actually, we took 7 grams of added sugar out of our regular muffin. And here's what's crazy. You know what we took out? Just sugar. We didn't have to do anything else. We didn't have to add anything else. We didn't add applesauce or butternut squash puree. I thought for sure there'll be moisture issues and we don't want this dry muffin. No, we just removed granulated sugar, met the requirements that we now have around 7 grams. It's actually 6 grams per 1 ounce serving, 12 grams per 2 ounce serving. But we're able to do that in ways that if we didn't ask, if we didn't have these local vendors to say, hey, could we try this? Is this something you're willing to do? That wouldn't have happened. So a lot of this change making is simply asking questions, going to those farmer markets and saying, hey, you ever thought about selling to a school? How much of that crop do you have? How much would you be willing to sell? But really thinking about these purchases like a diversified produce portfolio or a diversified local food portfolio. In addition to grains and meats, we're also able to work with local food businesses. So there's a market down in SLO called the SLO Oriental Market. They have all sorts of amazing international goodies and things that I can't really find easily from a distributor. Fish sauce, curry paste, things that make really delicious, culturally appropriate meals. But if I can't source the ingredients, it kind of loses the authenticity of that creation. So being able to shift those dollars to my local market, which is huge. That's a huge impact to them. We also manage a lot of special diets. There's more special diets now in our school systems than ever before. And I'm not clear that it's more special diets or our ability to better serve them. I think that's a really big piece that in the past, without the skilled labor and people in place to understand what a gluten-free diet looks like or what steps you have to take, that it's not just eliminating wheat from the diet, but looking at cross-contamination and what cutting boards we're using and knives we're using. So having that higher skilled labor to be able to use these products is really important, especially as we're looking at working with more local vendors, working with raw products. We work with our local food co-op, SLO Food Co-op. We're able to actually order and access through their UNFI catalog that we wouldn't be able to do ourselves as a sole entity because of the volume that we would be purchasing. So to be lifetime members of a local co-op where we're able to tap into their purchasing and again, shift those dollars from our big distributors to our local grocers is huge. And who would have ever thought local could mean a local food co-op? Local can mean local olive oil. We've got a local olive oil farm that we're buying olive oil from. You know, there are things that we have an abundance here in SLO County, and I realize that we are incredibly lucky to live in this agricultural mecca of California. But what's beautiful about local is that it means wherever you're at. So wherever you're at, you can look around and say, gosh, I'm in Maine and I have access to these amazing blueberries or some fantastic chilies down in New Mexico. There's so many things that you can really uplift and spotlight. It's really just a matter of finding them and making those connections. So it's a very long answer to procurement and connection, but I really think that by having relationships with people in our local community unlocks doors in school food that we never thought were possible.
Now, more than ever, it's really important that we're voting with our pocketbook. I think we can look at every decision we make as a way to support brands that are focused on our planet's health and sustainability. And in the last year and a half, I've really tried to clean out my closet. And that's when I found Vuori. So Vuori is an athleisure brand. And if you've been at school drop-off, I think 1 out of every 4 moms are wearing their performance joggers because they're really, really comfortable and they come in amazing colors. But the reason why I love Vuori so much is because they're committed to offsetting 100% of their carbon footprint, and they're focused on sustainable materials. So not only are they really high quality, beautiful, and super comfortable, but they're really focused on a healthy planet. So if you are looking for a way to gift your family members something that they're going to love, but also support brands that are focused on sustainability, Vuori should be a brand that's on your radar. And if you haven't given their clothing a chance, I recommend their performance jogger and their daily legging. And if you have a hubby, their men's core short is awesome. But I also want to support you to do that. So you're going to receive 20% off your first order and free shipping for orders over $75, and you get free returns. So all you need to do is go to Vuori.com/Kelly, and you can see all of the amazing options they have. That's Vuori.com/Kelly, and Vuori is spelled V-U-O-R-I .com/Kelly. And the deal you're getting is 20% off your first order and free shipping for orders over $75, and they have a free returns policy. So you can't lose by giving them a try and just feeling how soft and luxurious these sustainable clothing options are for your athleisure wear.
Absolutely. I feel like what you've given is a nugget for anyone listening, wherever you are in the nation, to say, okay, what's local to us? We'll start there. And First Flow, yes, you're in the Mecca. That's where all of our food comes from. Being down here in Southern California, I know that my strawberries are coming down from there. I know that all the things. But for anyone across the nation, what is local to you? That's where you start. Small changes. How do you make this more efficient, and how has Eat Real helped you? It sounds like Eat Real has some standards, especially when it comes to that muffin, sugar standards, which I love. For those of you guys listening, an Eat Real advisor, board member is Dr. Robert Lustig. He's been on the podcast. We've talked a lot about sugar in children and metabolic dysfunction, fat, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, the surge of type 2 diabetes, inflammation across the board that we're seeing in young children. And so it makes sense to me that he would help regulate boundaries around the sugar intake for kids. But I'll let either of you guys take this. How is Eat Real helping facilitate that change for you, Erin?
So really, this partnership, we were attracted to Eat Real during the pandemic. The world shut down and we were like, okay, how does this work? What does this look like? We pretty instantaneously moved to a weekly meal kit. We were sending home a box of weekly food to families. And I remember connecting with Eat Real through some other Zoom calls, the infinite Zoom calls we were on, and, you know, wanting to connect in a time of real disconnection. And what Eat Real really offered was clarity for standards that we already felt connected to, but didn't necessarily articulate. So our food values very much are centered around local food and real food. We're interested in clean label, minimally processed. We really do want to know where our food comes from. That doesn't mean that I am 100% free of anything in a package, but it does mean that if it's from a package, you bet I'm going to really look at the ingredient statement, the nutritional information. And I want to note that both of those things go hand in hand. If you are in a position where a manufacturer or a food broker is trying to sell you a product and won't give you both of those pieces of information, that raises my spidey senses. And I ask lots of questions about what we're trying to hide in the food that we're serving. So really knowing what is in what you're serving. If it's a whole food, that's number one. That's really what we want to go for. And if that's not possible, what's in the ingredients and the nutritionals that you're looking for? But even with that sense of understanding, we didn't have it very clearly articulated. So when we met with Eat Real, it was very clear. It was very clear the standards that they have set. It's very clear how you can reach certification within those standards. Even the certification process is very customizable to make sure that it's matching and in line with what's important to a district. So what we really liked in working with Eat Real is that it wasn't a stock box that was placed upon us and that we had to fit within. That really doesn't work for my style. That doesn't work for our district. And that's not what Eat Real is all about. So it was wonderful to find out that even though their program is very clear on what the standards are, there's multiple ways in which a district can fit within that or can attain that kind of certification. So we went through this process with them. Our menu was analyzed, and we actually reached silver certification upon our initial intake, which was huge for us. We are the first district in California to receive a silver certification and only the second in the nation. So we were really excited to know that what we had envisioned for our program really met and fell right in line with what Eat Real was all about. So we knew very early on in our relationship that we were aligned in our paths. We were aligned with what Eat Real's mission, vision, and values were, and how we could express those in our district. And sugar was a big piece for us as well. You know, Kelly, as a mom, I'm looking at how much sugar is in just about everything that comes into my house. It is wild. It is crazy to see how much sugar is in just salad dressing. What? And, you know, here's another easy nugget. Make your own salad dressing. If you are a school district looking for an easy entry into scratch cooking, make your own salad dressing. You can control those nutrients. It tastes better. That's been a very easy entry point for us. But back to this Eat Real collaboration, it really helped us define what we're about. How can we have talking points around different nutrients or around where we're at? And so before, we didn't really have it defined, but we utilized, you know, feelings around clean label and minimally processed. But now we're very clear. So we're easily able to say to any vendor or manufacturer, somebody who wants to do business with us, hey, if you've got a product that meets our requirements, we'll look at it. It's going to be 12 grams of added sugar per 2 ounce serving or less. And if you've got products that meet that, let me know all day long. This isn't a bash on packaged products, but it's a wanting a cleaner packaged product. It's a wanting of a better product. And I do think that some of them exist and some of them don't exist because the marketplace has not made that mandate. So I do think that by having standards around Eat Real, more districts that are going to become Eat Real certified, and coupled with new regulations. Currently, there are big regulations on the table with USDA wanting to look at aligning our school meal programs with the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. What a great idea. What a great way for us to have this fluid, intentional talk around nutrition that USDA is supporting what we're saying for all Americans and what we're saying for kids to make sure that school food is in line with those things. It just makes sense to me. I'd love to see more of that alignment throughout other programs like CalFresh benefits. But, you know, right now, school food is my soapbox. So that's where I'm at. That does make it a little bit challenging. Whenever there are regulations that are different than other programs, it does put programs up against one another. And so that makes it very challenging to say, well, in a certain program, this level of nutrition is acceptable. But in this other program that seems very similarly aligned, there are different rules or regulations. So I think that as much as we can have consistency, intentionality, seasonality, but really the sameness between programs and how we teach and educate young people to be the best, healthiest adults that they can be, that's what excites me about making sure that we're consistent about our nutritional messaging across schools and beyond.
Well, you make some really good points. When you think about demand, right? If Eat Real can get in there and change and support school districts to have boundaries and to have standards and to want to maintain a certification level, then you get more directors of nutrition like yourself on board to be louder for their students, to get those products, to have the distributors and the food suppliers really level up. Because what we've seen is you see that in a very health conscious community where people are looking for fruit roll-ups without added sugar. I mean, I can think like I hadn't, you know, just recently I saw, I was making pureed strawberries and dehydrating them and rolling them for Sebastian. And now there's like this awesome company that does it for me. And I'm like, okay, great. You don't need to feel like the kid who doesn't ever get something sweet, but this has one ingredient in it. I feel good giving it to you. And that person just saved me hours of time.
So much time.
Yeah. But that's because there are loud mamas who are going like, what? Help us out here. We need crackers without added sugar. We need dressing without added sugar. Shout out to Primal Kitchen. We need pouches with better balance. Shout out to Serenity Kids. Like, these are specialty companies creating specialty foods. They're not in mass supply. And so this is where I love what Eat Real and Nora's team is doing, because they're basically allowing you to be a mama to all those kids that you were talking about and fight for them. And they're helping you hold those standards and create those boundaries. So Nora, can we talk a little bit about some of the standards you guys are setting at Eat Real with school districts? You know, it totally breaks my heart that school districts aren't even at USDA regulations, because I know a lot of people that are holding higher boundaries for their family and their kids than even what the government suggests. So let's get up to baseline here, people.
Yeah. Earlier you asked my why, and I think I didn't share it. And it's literally, I'm a mama getting loud. Like, that is my purpose. And I learned about Eat Real, which was started by some of the leading pediatricians who saw the Dr. Leslie, Dr. Jordan Schlein of Private Medical, who saw what was happening to our kids in America. And they were very worried. And they felt like real food is what solves our health epidemic upstream. And if we can get real food to kids, it will heal our children and create a brighter future for everyone. And so when I met these doctors, they're onto something huge. And I have a 15-year background in food sustainability, in reconnecting the dots of our food system, but not with the nutrition side. And when I became as much, and so when I became a new mom, I became hyper aware of, what am I feeding my growing baby? What am I feeding myself? What am I feeding my family? Just like zooming out from the processed food culture that I grew up on and just really concerned. And when I learned about Eat Real and that they had created these really powerful integrated standards that combine planet health sustainability and supply chain sustainability and promoting like workers' rights, et cetera, and then also nutrition, and took this holistic approach to food, I just felt like they were onto something huge. And they have this incredible team, this incredible network. And when I joined, we decided in 2019 to 100% focus on K through 12 schools and apply these standards, which I'll explain in a second, to schools. And that's because schools are the largest restaurant chain in America. There are 90,000 plus schools. There's one in every community. So we thought, what a better way to create health and sustainability and through our schools. It's the largest like leverage point in our food system. So if we reconnect the dots and in schools, we're helping every kid have access to that food when their brains are growing, when their bodies are growing, when it's determining their health span and their lifespan, we're getting those better quality foods to kids. And then we saw like leaders like Aaron can make a huge difference. Like there is $7 billion or 7 billion meals that flow through schools. It's like $15 billion plus dollars that are spent on food through schools. And our small and mighty nonprofit helped raise the bar for 115 million meals last year and to make greener, healthier meals accessible to students by working with leaders like Aaron. And so our standards are nutrition and sustainability. In nutrition, yes, it's like removing added and free sugars. And so, and what we do is we partner with school districts and we give them an assessment and we give them an initial score and then we create an action plan. So it's really about then creating, giving them all the science-based data on here's where you're doing really well. Here are the opportunities. We keep sourcing local. And did you know that if you source these proteins or more locally, that would be incredible. And you know, removing any antibiotics or sourcing grass-fed, et cetera. And so we give them all the information and the data with our nutritionists and registered dietitians, et cetera. But we're not doing it. It's Aaron and the food service director is doing it and making the changes. And so then they create the action plan. And then we support them. Like if they want us to meet with a vendor and talk about the sugar or the harmful ingredients that are known, like calcium from kids' bolt or whatever it is, we'll help them work with their vendors. And then we reassess them to say, did they do what they said they wanted to do and what is their score? And it's a LEED certification style where it goes from green all the way up to platinum. And so our standards, sugar is definitely core, one of them. And actually, Aaron, I haven't shared this with you, but the team just crunched some numbers yesterday. And Aaron has already, through our partnership, helped remove over 15 pounds of added sugar from her students' diets and making delicious, nutrient-dense options for them, which is huge. Like that changes their metabolic health. And so sugar is one piece, removing harmful oils, looking at minimally processed as much as possible, like we talked about, removing, we have a long list of harmful ingredients, food coloring, it's additives, preservatives, et cetera, that we just look at all their labels and all of their recipes and say, did you know this was hidden in there? How do we get that out? How do we get that dough conditioner out, et cetera? So we look at those types of things in school food. We look at the how local it is. Farm to school is a huge movement. We're supported by the California Department of Food and Agriculture to promote more farm to school and the re-regionalization of our food system. And California has actually invested over $1 billion into this. It's huge. It's happening. Like, and it, there's more and more support. And so we help them look at like, what are the biggest dollars that are being spent on items and where are the local options? And then as Aaron is finding those local options, how does she share those with districts nearby or districts in the program? And how do we highlight those suppliers and those farmers and almost and create those farmers market connections? We look at food waste, which is really important in terms of planet health. We look at recycling. It's really looking everything from nutrition to sustainability.
It's phenomenal. And it seems so overwhelming, but I love that you go in with an assessment with clear standards on how someone can level up. Because we don't really know how to fix something if we don't know where the problems are. If we don't know that some of these preservatives or ingredients are shown to be harmful to kids. I mean, sugar is kind of like the glaring one. 15 pounds of added sugar. Erin, like, I'm going to just go ahead and clap for that. Because the hardest thing to do is to get kids off of sugar. I know it firsthand, a 4 and a 2-year-old. I mean, they're like, oh, my chewy vitamins kind of taste sweet. Can I have those again today? And I'm like, no, you can't. But it is, you know, it's the hardest part as a mom. And so if it's not, you know, if the person in charge of the director of nutrition of their school district doesn't take it so personally, the change can't happen. But Nora, when your team comes in and does the assessment and then you have an action plan, you're like, okay, here's how I make real change in my district. I'm so excited about this. Obviously, I want everyone to know about it.
Yeah. Nutrition directors and food service directors are total heroes. Like, they can create the change for our kids that we absolutely need for a healthier future. I can't tell you, like, they're so powerful. They're like the biggest food buyers. They are our hope, I think. And you see Erin's passion, and I'm just so inspired by it. I get to work with them and see the change. And I am obsessed with school lunch. Like, I dream of the lunch that I had with Erin. Like, I ask some of our food service directors to send me photos of the food. I'm like, do you deliver on Uber Eats? Like, how? I'm like, I've been going to lunch every single week, multiple times this last few weeks. I have lunch tomorrow in Natomas Unified. I'm so excited to try all the school food. Like, I am school food obsessed, and it can be that good. It can be the best meal of kids' day. It can be inspiring. Like, Erin made a Thai basil lentil burger. Like, so delicious. And where can you even find that at a local restaurant? Like, I seriously, it can nourish kids in a way that makes them feel great, helps their academic performance, helps their athletic performance, like, helps them just really be happy.
Definitely. So, Nora, what are some of the standards when it comes to eating real? Kind of talk high level. Yeah, eat real. We want minimally processed. We want whole foods. But when it comes to that lunch you're talking about, is there a certain number of plants that need to be on their plate or served up? Is there a certain amount of, like, protein options? Like, what does it really look like if I grab a tray in a unified school district and roll down the cafeteria line?
There are a national standards around school and food, and higher standards at a national level work. We know that the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act standards help reduce obesity for children living in poverty by 47%. And so we take those national standards, we encourage, advocate for policy, which also we can hopefully have some few minutes to talk about how people can get involved in raising the bar nationally. And then we take those national standards, we encourage states to raise the bar. California Senator Skinner just announced a bill that would raise the bar even higher for California, which would be amazing. And then we add on Eat Real standards on top of that, which is really, really powerful. But I think maybe Erin's actually the best person to kind of explain what are the requirements, and then we can talk about how we take those requirements and then we upgrade them all. Like, there are protein requirements, but then let's make that grass-fed. Let's have that source locally. Let's remove those antibiotics and hormones. So Erin, do you want to talk through, like, the standard requirements and then how you just raise the bar?
Yeah, definitely. So the fun thing is that all public school districts who participate in the National School Lunch and Breakfast Programs, we're subject to the same rules. It's how we interpret them and the choices that we make that look different from place to place. So on a typical lunch tray, you're looking at 2 ounces of protein. We do call it meat alternate. And I got to tell you, that is just not a term that anyone uses in how we eat things that are with or without protein. So protein, 2 ounces of protein. We have 2 ounces of grain. It does have to be whole grain, 51% whole grain or higher. Currently, the standard is that 80% of the time we have to do that. New regulations are pushing that to 100% of the time. So just some extra food for thought. And then we also are looking at fruits and vegetables. We are required to serve a 1/2 cup fruit or vegetable with every meal. And then milk is actually optional, but it is one of those 5 components. So when you look at a student's tray, in order for us to be reimbursed, we are a federally funded entitlement program. So we have to serve a complete reimbursable meal in order to get that reimbursement. So a lot of times on Thursdays, that looks like a grass-fed beef burger. We use Hearst Ranch beef. It's processed locally, and it's brought to us in beautiful quarter-pound patties with absolutely nothing else in them. So that's another reason why local is just so great. You put that great beef patty on a whole grain bun baked by our local Edna's Bakery company, and then we've got some great toppings. I want to say that when we have requirements in a school meal program, the last thing kids want to hear is, you have to, right? Mm-hmm. You must do. The infamous, thank your fruit, right? Like, kids don't want to hear those things. And so we as operators have to make choices that allow students to come to that choice naturally and on their own. So what we mean by that is we're required to serve that half a cup fruit or vegetable. We put an abundance of beautiful, fresh things on our garden bar. We have a daily composed salad. There's different fruits, different vegetables, everything fresh. And we menu the way you would eat out in the real world. So if you're going out for a hamburger, well, you're going to look for things like lettuce or tomato or pickles or burger sauce, right? You're looking for things that are going to accompany your meal. But when we menu to check off a box and we're left with really oddball things that meet the requirement, but maybe not in line with how we eat a meal, that's very confusing for kids. So the easier we can make it for them to come to that healthy choice, the better. And for us, it's looked like menu accompaniments on our garden bar and then have things that make sense. So, you know, we really want to menu the way you would eat out at a restaurant versus checking off a box. One of those box checks, though, is under vegetables. So we're all required as operators to serve different vegetable subgroups over the course of the week. And so getting kids to eat something like a legume can often be very challenging. You know, when we as operators open a can of garbanzo beans, hopefully rinse them and put them out on the salad bar, you're probably going to end up with the same amount of servings you put out. We just don't naturally eat plain garbanzo beans, at least not in my school district. But if we take those garbanzo beans and we now blend them, and maybe we add some local honey, some Valrhona chocolate, some deliciousness, and now we're making a chocolate hummus, it's still beans. But every time I make chocolate hummus, I cannot make enough. I cannot make enough. There is no amount of chocolate hummus that I could make to please all of the kids in my district. It's so good. And what's wild is they're all eating beans. So yeah, it's finding recipes and ways to not overly treat food, but to honor food, to uplift it, to have it be the star of your show. And that's what kids respond to. That's what makes them want to choose that fruit or vegetable. And we're really not saying, you know, hey, you got to take this. Or, you know, there's a little bit of that if someone forgets, but we really want it easy for kids to make that choice. And so looking at our students, not only as our customer, but as a customer that is deserving of a delicious meal, a meal that makes sense, a meal that would rival a restaurant in town, you know, I think that's what school food can really be. You know, when kids are saying things like, this is better than Panda, or this is better than whatever their recollection of like the best thing, and it's better at school, I think that's pretty amazing. One of the things Eat Real did with us during our assessment was bring to our attention the amount of plant-forward meals that we were serving. We were dabbling a little bit, but we really were able to dive deeper in this area. And I want to say that, you know, this is a lot more than cheese pizza and a bean burrito. Like, that's really, we're trying to open up plant-forward meals in ways that make them true center of the plate stars. So Nora mentioned a Thai basil lentil burger that's made with local red lentils from Candarian Organic Farm. Those same red lentils we put in a dal dish, red lentil dal with coconut rice. It may be the greatest dish that I've tried on our menu in a while. It's so good. And what's so beautiful about this dish, we unveiled it last summer in a summer experience culinary class we started teaching for students. And we read a book, and the book was called Bilal Cooks Dal. Now, I got to tell you, there were not very many kids that knew what dal was prior to reading this book and tasting this on our menu. But by the end of it, we had kids asking to make dal at home and if they could take that recipe home. So when we really look at our customers as important, as they matter, this is their program. I don't have a job if I don't have kids to serve. So making them centered of everything we do and really involving them in the program in ways that they feel good about, they learn something about, they're tasting something fun. That's what school food can be. Inviting kids to be active participants in their meal program, I think really shows them how they can be the best advocates for their own health as they navigate their lives and become adults who are informed, making really good choices. I really do believe that it's so much more than what's on your plate today for lunch. We're really building the future consumers of tomorrow, especially with knowing about our food system, knowing these celebrity farmers and getting to see them at the farmer's market, pulling on mom's purse saying, hey, that's Larry Candarian. We got to go buy his red lentils. Yeah, I had those at school. That's going to ensure that the future success of our farmers, our food businesses, and really the longevity of our students. And so what Nora said earlier about this connection to health, we really see this in ways that are far beyond a ridiculously delicious lunch today. And I really think that's going to really cause better health outcomes for all of these kids, not just for today, but for who they're going to be tomorrow. And that's the most exciting part of this work, is we get to have some really delicious fun.
Yeah. And they're allowed to be curious and creative. And when parents have come out of the pandemic, or they're overworked and they're stressed out about food and takeout's easier, when the kid is asking to make a recipe at home, or really just like inspiring the parent to get back in the kitchen, like that is powerful. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about kids that are exactly going to grow up and become the consumers, have these complex palates that are open to different cultural experiences and flavors and spices and plant forward meals. And they know what the standards are from their school. They're going to take those back home and vice versa. So such amazing work that's happening.
She's just getting started. It's like, she's truly helping kids learn to love real food for their well-being and for the planet. And like, we've only touched the surface on what she's already done. And then her vision is massive, just in terms of like, she has three chefs, not one, not two, three, on former Michelin star, like incredible chefs on staff. She's like creating two central kitchens. Like two, not one, not two. Like she is just like really thinking about like rethinking. And I think going to create a model for the nation of like, how do schools become a real food hub and a community food center that inspires like health and wellness and happiness for their families. So she's doing so much more than we've even talked about. And she's just getting started, I feel like. So
it's so exciting, Erin. Thank you for being a trailblazer and for doing the hard work, because it could be a really easy job. It's like, I think about ordering groceries. The easiest way for me to order groceries is to go into the Amazon app, pick the grocery store associated or their Whole Foods or whatever, add my cart, have it delivered, boom. Like, why would I spend the time? Why would I go to the farmer's market at the Ecology Center? Why would I order my protein boxes delivered from the farms that I love? But once you start having those things automated, and I get mm-hmm. my Force of Nature box, or I get my Pasture Bird box to the house, and I know that my kids love going to the Ecology Center, and it's more of like the farmer's market. It's more of an experience for us that we think about like going to the coffee shop or going to a park. And it becomes core and central to who we are as a family, then Whole Foods delivery or the Trader Joe's right up the street or wherever, where I'm kind of like piecemealing it together, is the afterthought and not the main place where I do all the work. And that's what you're doing in the school system. And it's just so inspiring. It's so inspiring. Thank you for creating the model. Thank you for doing the hard work. I mean, I know that this is just going to reverberate across the country with the help of Nora and Eat Real to be able to translate what you're doing into an action step for other schools. And I know it starts at a policy level, and I want to touch on that for the last 10 minutes of the show, because this stuff doesn't happen without big policy change nationwide. And that is an arm of Eat Real. Nora, can you talk about some of the changes that you guys have made? I know that milk is required on a plate to get reimbursed, but I'm vaguely remembering a chocolate milk story or something. So can you talk a little bit about some of the changes that are happening and why?
Yeah, totally. And I think just when you just were speaking, it made me think about how, like, imagine as a parent, as a mom, as a dad, as a caretaker, if you could just trust that school breakfast and lunch, and for a lot of kids, even school dinner, that it was going to be delicious and sustainable and nutrient dense, like it would save so much time for families. It's such an important safety net. And money, like, it just creates nutrition security, more economic resiliency for families. And so I think, yeah, just when you were talking about all the work that happens, like to be able to just trust that like good books at school or working breaks on a school bus, like there was a healthy meal there that was also inspiring for your kid, and that, you know, that their lunchroom was like the best classroom. It would be such peace of mind, I think, for parents. And so like, how do we create more support for American families? And I do think it takes individual leaders within the food system and then family members raising their voices and raising their voices for getting their school district involved, for support. Aaron and I talk about this a lot, the importance of parents supporting the nutrition directors. And so I think that at a micro level, what people can do, thinking about like how to create action, hyper local, they can lift up the Aarons, the nutrition and food service directors, and volunteer and really just have their backs, ask how they can help, like be really centering them as heroes. They can do that locally and getting supporting organizations like ours, et cetera. And then at a state level, people can raise their voice for higher standards. Like we just partnered with over 200 organizations that was organized by the Office of Kat Taylor to create a School Meals for All coalition where we effectively help create the strategy and then get everyone on board. And we all raise our voices collectively as nonprofits. And then also with a bunch of community members to get universal free meals passed in California. So that was one huge win that we had. But that's what at the state level, there are really powerful policies that people can advocate for by working with nonprofits like ours or individually signing on to things too. And if people sign up for our newsletter, and we'll be posting more and more on our blog about different actions people can take. But that's one example of School Meals for All is huge. It passed universal free meals, which allows any kid to have a meal that they need at school. And there, it removes school lunch shaming and stigma around school meals. And then along with that came massive investment from the state of California to the tune of like $1 billion. So it's like, how do we make sure every kid has the meal that they need at school? And then how do we also get more investment so that people can build kitchens and upskill their staff and have training dollars, et cetera. And so that's one example. And we're pushing for that at a national level. Temporarily, we had universal free meals, which was really powerful for creating more nutrition security and for alleviating poverty in America. And that was a pandemic temporary policy, but we think it's a good policy. Actually, it could be a silver lining if we then advocate for that nationally. And so universal free meals and making sure every kid has access to the food they need to learn is key for us. And we'll be keeping advocating for that. Thankfully, we have it in California and other states have followed suit. And it's starting state by state, and we can push for it at a national level. And then higher standards is really important. If people come in, we'll be posting a blog, and they can also sign up for our newsletter about raising their voices for and getting loud for higher standards. There's massive pushback already about the newly proposed, they're not final, proposed higher standards at a national level for school meals. So we need people to be positive and pro raising the standards at a national level. It was the first time that there was no sugar standard. And so it's the first time there's a sugar standard that's being introduced, for example. And so that people can support our organization to advocate for it. They can also submit comments. And so we'll make it really turnkey for people to submit comments for the national standards that would be higher school standards. And then this new bill in California, as it's being working through, if we need people to back it as well to say, okay, regardless of what we do at a national level, because that can move forward and then it can get rolled back, which has happened recently. So how do we push for higher standards nationally together? And then also at your state level, advocate state by state to raise the bar.
It's just mind-blowing we didn't have a sugar standard in schools. Like, how is that possible? Sugar affects learning, retention, mood, meltdowns. Like, we've seen it as moms firsthand. Like,
yeah, gut microbiome, mental health, like it is all connected. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a reason that we haven't had a sugar standard, and that's because of food lobbies. So
follow the money, friends. I mean, that's why we're here. That's why we're here. And that's why I found and how I found you guys. Thanks to Dr. Lustig, you know, a friend and, you know, I would say just someone I look to as just a major trailblazer in the industry, really voicing for kids how detrimental sugar can be to their metabolic health. And to have Eat Real be a nonprofit that is going in and making real change, that's leveling up vendors in the school system, that's creating a program and standards so that people like Erin can put words to what their values and standards are, to clarify their boundaries, to ask their vendors to do better, to find ways to pull things out of their menu and to do really cool stuff like chocolate hummus and Thai red lentil burgers. Like, I'm coming to eat, Erin. Sounds delicious. But it's the action plan, which I love about what you guys do, and the directory of vendors that you have based on the schools that you're working with that can make it easy so that a director doesn't have to feel like, wow, this is really hard and scary. And how am I going to reallocate funds and to where and how often? But I think about it like my home. If all of a sudden I'm just signed up for the box of beef, come from Force of Nature once a month and it shows up, and I know I'm either going to make tacos or burgers with the ground meat, like steaks. Okay, great. Like, I know that's already earmarked. It's a system. It's created. It's happening for me. And I'm just having to react. Okay, the food's here. I'm going to make it. And that changes everything. It makes it easier for everyone. And I love all that you guys are doing. I want my community to know about it. If you're a mama, head to Eat Real, learn how you can become an advocate for your school system, how you can create a community of loud moms to support your nutrition director to make change. Because I know there are a lot of nutrition directors out there like Erin who want to make change. I don't know how it feels daunting. Erin's proof in the pudding. She's done it first. Wow. All of, for everyone listening, the donation check from BeWell by Kelly's courses are this month is going to Eat Real, and we'll continue to be an advocate for the brand and to get the word out there. So if you are looking for a place to place your dollars or get involved, head to Eat Real, get in contact with them, get your nutrition director information about Eat Real so that they can have kind of their own little map on how to make change. You guys, thank you for donating your time today. I know you have big jobs to do out there, but really wanted to megaphone this change that you both are making in the school system, the amount of meals and the children influenced, affected. It's a ripple effect and it's going to be amazing. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Like if with more support, we are on track to shift $1 billion of school food purchasing by 2025. Like this movement is underway and I'm just so grateful that other people can learn about it so that they can get involved. I also want to add that to this just work is so urgent. I've been doing a Longevity Starts in Childhood talk about American health collapse. And I think that people don't know how sick our kids are and that actually they're getting sicker right now. In a time when we're hyper aware of our health with the pandemic, like we should be getting healthier. And during the pandemic, I pulled that type 2 diabetes, which is 100% preventable. It's a processed food related disease. Like sugar is a big driver, but so are other ingredients, and went up 77% in kids. Like our kids are, their health is moving in the wrong direction. Now 1 in 5 are pre-diabetic as kids. So this work is so urgent and it is possible and we can take charge of our food system and support incredible visionaries like Erin. And just thank you for megaphoning this and sharing it with everyone.
Thank you for all of your hard work and time. It's just priceless.
Thank you both so much. It's so exciting to shine a light on this. Every student matters and school food matters. So thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you for being the inspiration, Erin, and showing people how to make it happen. You guys are the best. Have a wonderful day. For everyone listening, I'm going to put links to all of this in the show notes and make sure you have access to Eat Real and the changes you can make on a district level.
Thank you for listening to Be Well by Kelly. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Learn more at BeWellByKelly.com and follow me on Instagram at BeWellByKelly. I would love if you picked up my books, Body Love and Body Love Every Day. They're sold on Amazon and at all major booksellers.